And now, NAI Pop presents a unique show where two dads talk about the topics that interest them: sports, wrestling, and a splash of pop culture information to help them survive in a world of wives and kids. Now, please welcome your hosts, professional wrestler and new dad, Scotty Slade, and retired executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski. Welcome to For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network.
And you are listening to For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network, the show that myself and longtime entrepreneur Jamie Jamikowski get together and we talk everything under the sun: wrestling, video games, pop culture, movies, you name it, we talk about it. And this week, Jamie, we are at episode 21. We are officially legal to drink on the show.
And I see, you know, we have our cameras on. Nobody else can see it, but I see you're drinking. You're drinking a grown-up drink tonight, Scotty Slade. Is that one of your garbage, sugar-free monster crap cans?
Nope. No. This is Jameson on the rocks, I guess you could call it. So
wow.
Nothing too fancy.
I didn't know you were a whiskey guy. Next time we're recording live in studio together, I'll have to bring a bottle, and we'll have a little tasting.
Yeah, when I growing up, when we started to do the underage drinking thing, we realized that drinking beer was not worth the time and energy, so we went straight for the whiskey. So I've been drinking whiskey since I was like 16.
Well, that, you know, what? Good Lord.
How old is your daughter now?
She just, whose name you just forgot, that was awesome. How old is your daughter? Nikki is 15. She actually just turned 15 last week, so we celebrated her birthday out here. And, so she's like officially a mid-teen now, which is bringing all kinds of good times. And you have that to look forward to. Also, somebody else who has that to look forward to is our guest this week. Because our guest this week, here's a guy, I've been trying to get him almost since episode one of For the Pops. Been trying to get him since the early days. He does guest appearances on other podcasts, which shall not be named. You know, those wrestling podcasts about nothing. I hear that he's a big contributor over there. But I tried to get him. I'm trying to get him for Let the Chaos Begin. And in fact, we'll talk about this later on today, Slade. I've actually tried to convince him to join the For the Pops network with his very own podcast. And so tonight what we're going to do is we're going to talk to him. And then maybe later on in the show, we're going to have him actually maybe do a little test run of what his podcast with us could be. But please welcome part-time chaotic wrestling commentator, one of the best color commentators in my entire chaotic wrestling run, please welcome Mr. RJ DeLuise. RJ, how are you tonight?
Wow, that was some introduction. Entrepreneur Jamie Jamikowski, the entrepreneur of New England, the man who sells more underwear than any other man really on the planet. What an intro.
Me and Calvin Klein. I think Calvin Klein and I are one and two.
Sure.
So how are you, pal?
Tom Brady, Calvin Klein. I'm really good. You know, just doing great. Really happy to be here. You said you weren't going to name the podcast, and then you did name the podcast, so that was confusing.
No, he didn't name it. But he said it was a wrestling podcast about nothing.
Oh, so that's totally different. Yeah, that makes sense. Just glad to see Scotty Slade's getting liquored up for this. And, the dad of pro wrestling, you know, one of my all-time favorite valets for women, a match recently shared on Facebook of Scotty Slade as woman valet, probably the James Ellsworth before there was a James Ellsworth. A lot of people don't know that.
I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or an insult.
And that's the way it's meant. That's really the beauty of it is, you know, is it funny? Is it mean? Probably both, you know, probably a little bit of both. But happy to be here, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me.
RJ, when was the last time you made an appearance on a chaotic wrestling show?
I just did one recently. It was one of the bigger shows that they have. You might be familiar with it. There was a man who was on the show. His name's Mick Foley. He was the general manager.
Doesn't ring a bell. Mick Foley.
He's an Irish kid, Mick.
Okay.
Mick Foley. It's one name, Mick Foley, like McDonald's.
Okay, a youngster.
Yeah, he's a
scrappy new youngster.
Up-and-comer. I think he's going to have a really bright career.
Okay.
You should really keep your eyes on him. He's one of those independent guys making the circuit. So he was there. He shoved his Mr. Sacco in Retro AG's face. And it was really disgusting to watch, but delightful. A DeLuise delight, if you will. So yeah, so I did the show with Rich Palladino, my life partner, and the fantastic Julian Starr, who does an amazing job on color commentary. He's really taken that in stride and doing a fantastic job with it. He also came off the top rope, hit a moonsault, lit the place on fire. The place did not know what to do when Julian ripped his shirt off.
I wasn't sure if you meant Julian or Rich did that. I'm glad you clarified a little
bit. Rich did it later, but it was a separate thing off a bed onto me. We don't have to get into the specifics, but it was very, very sexy.
Wow. Completely off topic, but I've always wanted to ask this question, and I figured no better time than right now. With RJ, how did you come up with RJ DeLuise?
Oh, great question. I'm really glad you asked that. Not a lot of people ask that because I'm not super relevant. So the way that that happened was I got involved with this thing from Johnny Fabulous was the color commentator at the time. This is more of a let the chaos begin kind of discussion, but I'm glad we're doing it here.
Subject matter.
I was going to shows Fabo said, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, maybe you could do it. And I'm like, yeah, I could. I'm really good at stuff like this. And so then Chase and Jamie took a chance on a fat guy from the crowd. And I needed a name. So I didn't have a name. Dom DeLuise is a fat person who's hilarious. So I thought DeLuise is a really good last name because it's unique. And there's already somebody with a name like that who does comedy. So that would work. The next part of the problem was, what am I going to do for a first name? So I was like, oh, maybe I'll be, you know, Jack DeLuise. Like, you don't know Jack, right? Huh. And then Chase Del Monte was like, yeah, that's not good. What about Rudiger? Like, I have the name Rudiger running through my mind. I'm like, well, that's equally terrible. Like, I can't be Rudiger DeLuise. Like, that doesn't, like, Rudy DeLuise. Like, that doesn't work. So we landed on RJ, and in New England, it's actually pronounced AJ, and how Fabo said it in the ring, and how Mike Crockett still calls me AJ, because when he cut the promo on me to introduce me as his replacement, he was like, and because of this AJ Lodass, because he didn't remember my gimmick name, and so he called me AJ Lodass, and that stuck for a really long time. Probably to this day, frankly. So long story short, I am AJ DeLuise, the noise from New York, the comedian it, color commentary.
But tell the whole story now, RJ, because I did cover this on the Let the Chaos Begin podcast with Rich Palladino that airs right here on the For the Pops Network on the alternate weeks from For the Pops. But what was your first show with us?
Well, so the first show was the show before Homecoming.
Okay.
So my second show was Homecoming. You guys actually said it wrong because I listened to that. So my first show was the show before Homecoming. And a particular entrepreneur of New England, Jamie Jamikowski, came up to me and said, I hope you're good. We booked you for two shows. Don't suck. And so I said, well, I don't plan on it. And then turns out I didn't, which was really important because I had been asked to not suck. So I worked really hard to not suck. So then my first show was just a regular PAV show, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Bone Crusher Fred Sampson and Brian Fury were the first match I ever called. That was a great match, and it was a good night. Rich and I had chemistry right off the bat. And then the second show was Homecoming, which, as you guys covered on Let the Chaos Begin, had John Cena and, Vincent Kennedy McMahon kneeling next to me and Rich Palladino at the announce position. I thought that night, independent wrestling is the greatest thing that ever happened. Like, all the shows, just John Cena and Vince McMahon are on them. Like, that's how independent wrestling works.
Just my shows.
Just your shows. It never happened again. And I was disappointed every other show I was on. So the bar was set way too high, way too soon.
What were you saying about RJ's commentary?
I was going to say that his commentary for when Vince hits the ring is hands down one of the most genuine, like, mind-melting experiences. It's almost like I could feel what was going on in his heart.
I didn't know what to do with myself, and he had just been made a hardcore champion, and he was like a doctor, and so there were all these gimmicks happening all at once, and I had to just spit them all out because I was just having so much of a visceral reaction to actually Vince McMahon, who I had no idea would – be there because Jamie was walking around with a smirk all night. But he's like, I came to realize that's just kind of how he is.
I was gonna say that was a usual thing, me walking around with a little smirk
like,
on my face.
It was just like they're like, oh, he's just cocky and that's who he is. And I was like, oh, all right, that's fine. But like John Cena was walking around the locker room. I'm like, oh, there's John Cena. That's fine. This is a normal day in my life. And then Vince McMahon just kneeling next to me, and I hit Rich on the arm. I'm like, what's going on right now? Like, what is happening? Like, this is not a thing I'm used to. And I'd been to plenty of independent shows. Like, I'd been to, you know, Chaotic for a number of years supporting Chase Del Monte, who, you know, is my fraternity brother from college. A lot of people don't know that, but that's really? How Chase and I.
Enter that fraternity at the same time?
So he was a pledge when I was a brother. So put him through the ringer, and just a delight. His sister is lovely. Shout out to Kelly. She's just wonderful, and she's older than me. And she was like, you know, my nerd brother, who's like kind of terrible and like a social nightmare. He really needs some help getting into the fraternity. Will you help him? And I said, sure, Kelly. I'll help that poor sad kid.
Is there any stories you can share? I don't know if you can share these stories. Is there anything you can share that would be embarrassing that you put Chase through when he was trying to get into the fraternity?
A lot of things that we did, highly classified, Scotty. But what I will say is we did have a lot of front yard and backyard wrestling matches, and I always put him over. I never won.
Shocking. Some things never change over the course of 20 years. Chase never loses, and people just put him over.
He had to get all the stuff in, and I made him look awesome. You know, he would put trash cans on my head and like drop kick me, and I would just sell for him all day. And he would end up, you know, hitting me with a super kick out of nowhere. And, you know, and that was it. But I hit him with a ton of Bubba bombs. And I need you to know that, the amount of Bubba bombs that I've hit on Chase Del Monte is through the roof, literally through the roof, because we actually would wrestle like in living rooms, and he would do his frog splash through roofs. Through the ceiling. It was wild. We were crazy people.
RJ, how long were you with Chaotic Wrestling? We can combine your two stints with us, because you took a little break in the middle.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, RJ, he took a little sabbatical halfway through his Chaotic Wrestling career. But then you came back, and everything was good in the world again, right?
Right. That's exactly what happened. 100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jamie and I just, we had a misunderstanding, and,
you misunderstood the rules, and that was the misunderstanding. So poor Scotty Slade is so confused right now.
He's very confused.
What?
There was an event, that occurred where Jamie, decided to fire, two of the better people on his roster.
RJ is one of two people I fired halfway through a show once. I fired him at intermission. Told him to leave.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What did a commentator do that got him fired?
He had one beer in the parking lot, and that was enough to have someone get fired at a Chaotic show. And Scotty Slade's eyes are getting big. I don't know if you guys can see this at home. You can't because it's audio. But Scotty's confused by that, because up to every show before that, every single person who was on the roster would drink throughout shows constantly. But on that night in particular, Jamie had, you know, a bug inserted into his rear end.
No.
And decided to enforce.
This is a story that should have been saved for Let the Chaos Begin. But
he decided to enforce rule number one. And there were other people who were spared. I took the fall, and Jamie didn't allow that to happen. He there were other people.
Nobody was spared.
There was a lot of things about that story.
Who was spared?
One beer?
There are a lot of things about that story to this day, Jamie, that you don't fully understand.
Well, maybe we should bring up. I mean, I'm retired, but here's what happened, Slade. We were actually running a show for the first time in Tingsboro. It was a Tingsboro Sports Arena, like one of those buildings I learned to hate to run in, because like those indoor soccer fields are always big, no matter how many people you have in there. It always looks like your crowd sucks, and in fact, RJ, that night the crowd did suck. We had a terrible draw. But adult set that one up. My partner, Chaotic, adult set that one up. And the whole thing was, we were trying to get all the youth soccer leagues. And for those of you who don't know, my rules in Chaotic Wrestling, they're always the famous Chaotic rules. No blood, no cursing, stay off the barriers. But anyway, we One of my rules, one of my rules was always don't drink until the show's over. I never cared what you did after. And that was always my rule. Now, places like the PAV, places like the PAV and the Elks, I have to say that for years there was a mutual level of respect between me and most of the roster. Where I had the rule in place, don't drink during shows. And all I asked was, so the rule was in place, don't drink during shows. And I can honestly say during a good 10, 12-year run at places like the PAV and the Elks, I never witnessed anybody blatantly drinking alcohol during the shows. Now, at the same time, my germophobia aside, I never once asked to take a sip of anybody's bottle of Diet Coke or their water bottle or their lemonade.
Yeah, so there was about that.
Definitely, there
they
was
call
definitely
that ignorance. I don't know if you're familiar with that term.
Exactly, but you know what?
Okay.
The roster respected me enough not to rub it in my face. They were breaking the rules, and I respected them enough not to over pursue. The night RJ got fired, however, I can say I am not entirely to blame. Rich Palladino was the one. I wouldn't have noticed you and the other person were gone. Because you guys were done for the night. I think you guys worked in the first half, right, RJ?
Yep, we were done.
You guys were done.
So our show was over.
But the chaotic wrestling one wasn't. The person who was MIA was Rich Palladino.
Uh-huh.
Somebody says to me, I think I saw him out in the parking lot. I go out in the parking lot to get him because you weren't announcing that night. You were managing Matt that night.
I managed Matt that night. It was one of the greatest wrestling matches that ever happened.
I go out there.
On Chase the Money.
These dumbasses, they're out in the parking lot with a case of beer, beer cans strewn all over the ground,
one in each hand.
This is how I remember it.
Inaccurate.
Like
beer.
Like sophomores behind the gym at a high school dance.
Who else was with RJ? I'm sorry. I missed that piece.
Yeah, that's really important. That's a crucial part of the story, Scotty. So myself and Matt Logan, who we had been in the match and we were done for the night, mind you, were outside. And there was I had a trunk filled with beer and a beer cooler. And I had told everyone that I had that because there was nothing about that that was weird because that's how we were – living at the time. That was at every show. I would bring cold beers, much like a la, you know, Stone Cold. They were ready and on hand for anybody on the roster who was interested in having them. That was standard operating procedure, standard chaotic culture at the time. There was one beer that was had. Jamie came out like a lunatic person, screaming his head off.
Just been Matt.
And actually... for the first time, enforced a rule while there were people still in the building who weren't done for the night, who may or may not have already been drinking already indoors. We were outside in the back, bothering no one, around no one, no fans. Pick your battles kind of moment where Jamie decided to pick one. And it was a terrible decision that affected morale forever and the product forever.
Yeah, the next decade of chaotic success after that. It was pure luck and pure happen chance.
Nothing good happened from that moment on. It was actually a curse and a hex upon his soul. I will say that if Jamie had mentioned at any point that going out to have a beer after a match was frowned upon, then anybody who would have heard that would have not done that. But Jamie didn't explicitly say that.
You're a liar. Now you're lying.
That's not lying. That's a fact, and you can ask everyone involved. But it's neither here nor there.
There were only two people involved, as far as I saw.
It was just
this is water under the bridge. Your version of reality is so skewed and insane that it's hard to even make sense of it. But it's okay. Like
all I'm saying is that we had rules. Rules were followed, and my request was
you did not have rules.
My
you actually didn't have rules.
My request, we absolutely had rules.
Guys, it's just unclear. It was just Matt Logan and RJ DeLuise outside.
Those were the only two that I caught. You were the only two standing there when I arrived.
That's inaccurate. That's not actually how it went.
Who else was there when I arrived?
the person who actually, no, I'm not doing this because I'm not a rat. And the bottom line is I'm not a rat. And so here's the thing. You have a selective memory of how that.
Hold on. Wait, RJ, if you and I are about to say the same thing, no. I don't believe Rich was there. Rich and I crisscrossed.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Well, tell me your version of it.
There isn't. There's no version in this where I rat out my friends because that's not what I do. What I actually did was go inside and say the only person who had beers was me, and that would have been the two beers that were drank between two people outside at the time.
You said you only had one.
You know what? Good point.
And I did attempt to do that, and Jamie didn't bite on that. Nope. But I did take full responsibility.
That's fine.
And that wasn't good enough.
And if you remember, as a result of that, I was willing, in order to enforce our rules and to make a statement with the locker room, I lost my heavyweight champion because of it.
The reality of the situation is this: you and I are good. We are pals. We have been pals since. We have made up. It's water under the bridge. But your version of this is infuriating and insane.
And your lack of responsibility for what happened is equally insulting and insane.
Except how I've said that I was actually factually drinking that one beer in the parking lot.
Well, regardless, at this point, it had to have been long before the prime years of Chaotic, because I have not been introduced to Chaotic Wrestling and the steamrolling of one of the greatest tag teams ever graced Chaotic. But with that said, why don't we go to break? When we come back, I kind of want to see this test pilot, so to speak, of the RJ DeLuise delights.
It's the RJ DeLuise's.
That's what it should be.
Couch Pop-tato. This is a Pop-tato.
When we come back, we're gonna hear RJ's Couch Pop-tato here on For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network.
My name is Jason Malta.
I am Liam Streger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And live every Wednesday night on NewAgeInsiders.com and the Mixler app, we're taking topics and thousands of fan perspectives and bringing them to your airwaves.
And don't forget, we'll be live and taking your calls before and after every single WWE pay-per-view that we do not attend.
But wait, there's more. You can also subscribe to our Patreon page by visiting Patreon.com and searching for New Age Insiders. And with plans starting at just $2 a month, there's an affordable option for everyone.
Monday rewards, Tuesday rewards, exclusive pay-per-view rewards, exclusive shows. Why wouldn't you become a Patreon? And we will see you Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We out.
Hey, everyone. This is Jamie from the For the Pops podcast. You know, on our show, you hear me talk all the time about Undercoverwear, Chaotic Wrestling, and a lot of the other companies I've started or worked for. Over the course of my 20-plus year career, I've helped dozens of businesses and literally thousands of individuals reach their personal and financial dreams. And you know what? Now I want to help you. If you have a small business, a family-owned company, or maybe just a great business idea, reach out to me. Maybe you're looking for a job but need some help with your search or rewriting your resume. Just let me know. Who knows? Maybe you're a pro wrestler or a pro wrestling promoter who needs some tips on growing your role in the industry. Well, I can help. Check out our website. It's ohanaane.com. That's ohanaane.com. Or just go to forthepops.com and follow the link at the top of the page. My company, Ohana Enterprises, we offer everything from individual coaching to marketing packages to website design and even more. Our only goal is to give small businesses and individuals the boost you need to succeed. So check us out at ohanaane.com and let us help you make your dreams a reality.
Welcome back. You are listening to a special presentation here on the For the Pops Network, on the NAI Pop Network, as you are here for the pilot episode of RJ DeLuise's new podcast. It's RJ DeLuise's Couch Pop-tato.
So for starters, that is no one's idea of a name. Jamie J. Mikowski. His idea was, RJ, I've got this great idea for the name of a show. We'll call it RJ's Couch Poptato. The implication being, use the word pop, and couch potato, as in I sit on a couch and I'm fat. It's nice, but it's also insane and not creative. So here's the couch poptato. The idea being is I would rant about things that are hilarious, and then people would laugh and, oh, that RJ. That's what it would be like.
Okay, so RJ, whatever you would have called this podcast, if you don't want to use my awesome name and use your own, like you said, let's start it off. If this was the RJ Deluise Delights, what would your first big topic be that you would bring up tonight?
All right, well, if we're talking pop culture, and I'm going to give you a piping hot take fresh out of RJ's oven. You guys ready?
Jeez, yeah, because that's what I want, something out of RJ's oven.
Oh, it's going to be so yummy. It's a Dutch oven, actually. It is that Thor Ragnarok is the greatest individual Marvel movie of all time and the greatest buddy comedy of all time.
Well,
fight me.
You get something right, and that is that you definitely dropped something piping hot out of that oven of yours.
Wow.
But I don't know if I'd call it a hot take.
So everything about that movie is right, and no, anybody who feels differently is wrong.
No, so I don't disagree that Thor was a top-notch movie. I think it made it to the finals for us, Jamie.
Yeah, in, I think so.
The problem I have is that, RJ, is that you're putting on so many of these restrictions so that it launches itself to number one. Mm-hmm. That you have to say that it's a standalone because you know it doesn't line up against either Avenger movie. Either the first Avengers.
But what does? What on earth aligns with an Avenger movie? What on earth?
Nothing. That's the point.
Right. Exactly. We need a subcategory, Scotty. You can't just compare everything to Michael Jordan. There has to be some Scottie Pippins out there. It's the Scottie Pippin of movies.
But the best buddy cop of all time?
Buddy comedy.
Best buddy comedy.
Best buddy comedy.
If you don't think that Banner / Hulk plus Thor equals buddy comedy genius, them hanging out in that room, talking about how small the fire is, and just their banter back and forth, if you don't enjoy that, I don't know what you think comedy is.
I'll give you Thor is a great action flick, but if I'm going comedy, no.
So what's your
a comedy top to bottom?
I'd put a lot of other comedies ahead of that.
Name one.
Step Brothers.
Oh God!
It's Step Brothers is standalone. It's not a buddy comedy. It's an ensemble. There's everybody else in it is awesome too. The two of them are great, you know. But then that's any Ricky Bobby combination of the two of them together is a buddy comedy. Like that's they're their own thing. I'm talking real two guys who love each other on another planet who just get together and make comedy. When else do you see that? You don't. So that's RJ 1, Nerd 0. So that's my hot take. The other hot take is that the New York Mets will win probably 60 games this year.
Yeah, right now.
Well, they got 47. So so they'll probably hit 60 sometime in the near future. And it's a very exciting time to be a Mets fan here in America. So suck on that, Red Sox fans. You can win double the amount of games that the Mets win, but you'll still be
hold on.
A really good franchise with a great history.
I have a question for you, a serious question for you, RJ. Because yeah. I'm glad I have you on today for this question. Because, like, as a fan of the Mets, right, you're basically watching a team that has sucked. Or has, I don't want to say such, has underperformed for years on end, right?
Well, let's not go years on end. Hold on. This is your revisionist nonsense history that Jamie's stories he tells himself.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
What you need to understand is that the Mets were just recently in a World Series against the Kansas City Royals in 2015. That's 3 years ago. So they haven't sucked for that long. They have underachieved recently and have made terrible bonehead management moves. and signed old talent and not built a young roster up from the ground, and not made any big real signings that involve, you know, young talent with a lot of money and a lot of years. So they've made every decision the wrong way. And that's, you know, that's how they operate as a franchise. The ownership is garbage.
But what I was going to ask you is hold on, though, because remember, I'm older than all of you. And what drives me crazy is I get these Boston sports fans now, right? Like if you're my daughter's age, if you're 15, right?
You've never watched Boston Blues.
All you've ever known is Boston teams winning. You know, I'm old enough to remember Patriots games not being televised because Hugh Millen was our quarterback. And, you know, it was awful. You know, I remember the first, what, two-thirds of my life, the Red Sox, actually probably first more than that, the Red Sox hadn't won.
Yep.
And what we were, you know, when it came to the Red Sox especially, we tried to be basically the lovable losers. It was the curse. It was almost our – here's Slade, something you'll appreciate. It was basically our gimmick to be the losers.
Sure.
But back then, that was, like, kind of okay. I feel like now in sports – like, it's not okay to have a franchise that isn't as successful. So, like, we used to, like, my dad and I, it's funny, we were watching the other night when the Red Sox came back into the Yankees. We were watching it together. And it's kind of fun because we don't get to see each other as much. And RJ, I don't think your dad lives close to you. So it's kind of fun when you get to do this stuff.
Yep. It's very fun.
And when the Sox came back into the Yankees the other night, my father and I were kind of joking, like, oh, God, remember when I was a kid? Sox would be down by 3 in the 8th inning. The game was over.
Game's over.
Yeah. So, like, but, like, yeah, for you, so, like, when you watch a Mets game, it's like, what are you watching for at this point?
So, you know, what I'm watching for is loyalty. And, you know, I'm loyal to my franchise that I've cheered for my entire life. It has been more downs than ups, but that builds character, Jamie. And, you know, to your point about the millennial Boston Red Sox fan, they make me sick. And all of your Tom Brady-ness and your Red Sox and your Bruins and even your Celtics, it's garbage, okay? I remember all of your teams being terrible except the Celtics, who, when I was a kid, had Larry Bird and were just actual forces to be reckoned with. And Larry Bird, we talk a lot about LeBron and MJ. Larry Bird was one of the greatest players of all time, and no one talks about it as much as they should. I give credit where it's due. But what I will say is this. I'm a Mets fan to my core. I'm a Mets fan. I'm a Giants fan. So luckily, I don't have to commit suicide because a Mets-Jets fan is normally what happens here in New York. And Mets-Jets fans have the worst life of any person I've ever known. Usually it's Yankees, Giants, Mets-Jets. The problem that you guys don't recognize because you don't have this issue is that in New York, you have to decide early on in your life what side of the fence you're on for each sport team because you have other options. So you don't just have one New York team like you have one Boston, New England team. You have to pick somebody and then you're stuck with them. So in 1986, when I'm 6 years old, I picked the Mets because they were winners and that those teams were electric. Those 86 Mets were unbelievable. So I thought this is going to be my life forever, a la Vince McMahon kneeling next to me in independent wrestling. I just thought that was what independent wrestling, that's what baseball was going to be, is winning all the time. I started to learn over the next 32 plus years that that's actually not how it goes actually much again.
But at least I can say I respect you because, you know, you have your team and you stick with them. Unlike the third person on the podcast who, Sky Slade's favorite team, whichever one is in first place.
You're not going to win this argument in baseball. You can hold that argument in football.
You heard the famous Scotty Slade story, right, RJ?
Probably not.
About the Ravens 49ers Super Bowl.
This sounds awful, but I won't hear it.
And I believe we were sitting at the old. It was probably still the Chaotic Training Center at the time. Maybe it was the NEPWA. And the way I remember the story, and Slade might remember it differently. I remember somebody asking, you know, Slade, who do you want to win? And Slade's answer was, either one. They're both my favorite team. So
that's the RJ, I'm now officially understanding.
You're getting it right. Yeah,
that he's a lunatic on how he remembers stories.
Sure. No. The Jamie filter, the Jamie effect is real. It is a thing.
It is a thing. Yes,
Scotty, we might have been better off just doing this RJ podcast with just you and me, and like
you're right,
and cutting Jamie right out of this whole thing.
I am the glue that holds the For the Pops network together.
You're like the horse that we have to murder to get the glue. That's who you are.
Now he's making fat jokes. RJ's making fat jokes at me.
No, a horse. A horse isn't fat. They're speedy and sleek.
Yeah, all right, that's what I think of Jamie.
Okay, RJ, as we wrap,
and rich people own them, so that's perfect for
so,
you.
RJ, as we wrap up RJ's pop couch pop-tato segment, I have a pressing question I want to ask you.
Okay.
Because I know you've been doing your research.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
What?
I was gonna just. What? Nah, go ahead.
Are you sure?
Nah, go ahead.
You sure?
What's the matter? While you guys were talking about the terrible Mets, which, by the way, other than Jacob deGrom, I don't know what they've got going for them. But
they don't. But they have actually a very good pitching staff that is mostly injured all the time and underperforming. DeGrom is a trooper and sticking by this team, and talk about loyalty. He's getting zero run support and having one of the greatest years any pitcher's ever had. It's mind-boggling. But go ahead.
So I quickly looked up best buddy comedies.
Jeez.
And easily several titles shoot out much farther. Hot Fuzz, Dumb and Dumber, Super Bad. We've got Tommy Boy, Step Brothers.
Tommy Boy's all time. I'm done. This conversation's over. Tommy Boy's one. Thor Ragnarok is 1A, and I win. All right. So what were you going to ask, Jamie?
So, RJ, I think it's probably going to be about 1 year from right now. I know you've been doing your research. Mm-hmm. When all is said and done.
Yeah.
Who sits on the Iron Throne?
Really glad you asked. So I am I'm five seasons through a rewatch. You learn a lot when you rewatch in a binge way. Mm-hmm. Us who have been around from the beginning, who have to wait weeks and then years in between seasons and episodes, it loses a little bit of that continuity. When you watch it back in a binge way, you really appreciate the subtleties. I'll give you some for instances.
And so I can jump in real quick. We're talking about Game of Thrones. We're all big Game of Thrones fans, and it's coming back in 2019.
If you are a fan of the show, do yourself a favor and go back and watch them all in a row. What I will say is this: season one has so many references to people you actually know that you don't realize who they are season one because you haven't met them. So you hear things in just random throwaway conversations that Jamie's talking to, random guys in a hallway, and you're like, yeah, I know who those people are. Like, so it's such a cool way to go through it. Now, back to the Iron Throne question. It's a really important one. I'm gonna go full heel and say that Night King takes over all of Westeros, sits on the throne, it's winter everywhere, everyone's dead. Cut to black. That's how.
No.
Yep.
Slade.
Good doesn't always have to triumph over evil, guys. That or Samwell Tarly takes the throne. Those are my two choices.
I'm so glad we have cameras on because you are just upsetting Scotty Slade minute by minute on this. You're coming after me, but he's one getting upset. What's the matter, Slade?
No, it's fine. It's just he's falling into the Martin approach to Game of Thrones. He just assumes it's going to be dismal and end awful and things of that nature. I'll be honest, I don't have any sort of solid guesses. I would Tyrion would be the guy that I'd put over at the very end, but that's just me.
Well, of course you would, and it's the 49ers and Ravens aren't in this contest, so it's hard to know who's going to end up on the throne Super Bowl wise, but
Here's my prediction for final scene. I think what the final prediction, my final scene will be, it's going to be a flash forward. And who's going to be on the Iron Throne? I think it's going to be Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen's kid. And it's going to be Samwell Tarly. He's the one who's been telling this whole story the whole time. I think that's what the reveal is going to be. Is that he's been telling the story. Of how
so like,
their kid,
how I met your mother, how I met your mother,
exactly
meets incest child on the throne,
exactly. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I mean that actually fits pretty okay. I don't actually think the Night King or Samwell are going to be on the throne. Realistically,
upset if that was the answer. Jamie.
Right. I mean, but it's a Martin thing to do. I don't think that's actually going to happen. What I think is more likely is some sort of Targaryen dynasty that starts up again, that we've been waiting, you know, for the Mother of Dragons to really just fly into Westeros and do her thing. The problem, guys, that we're not addressing is that the Night King has knocked down the wall and is marching on the north.
Yeah.
And don't have a plan for that. And so if you have a good idea of what's going to, I mean, there's not enough dragon glass or Valyrian steel to take out that pile of just white walking murderers. So, you know, and the Night King is a stone cold savage.
And he's got a dragon.
He's got a dragon, but he himself, that toss to take down Viserion was one of the most unbelievable throws in modern history. So that dude's magic.
He's like the Chase Del Monte of Westeros. No, nobody can beat this guy.
Can never beat him.
You
know, and why would you want to? He's so entertaining. He hasn't said one word, and he's the most entertaining guy on the show.
Scotty Slade, I, we have to start.
Why is RJ trolling us?
This is him. You obviously don't know him well. This is really RJ Deluise.
I'm having such a hard time sifting through all of this stuff he's saying, trying to figure out what he's doing for baiting or if he's just purely believing what he's saying.
I am a masturbator, and I bait hard.
Come on, really?
So who's debating? Really? No one baits harder than I do. No one.
Well, look, again, RJ, I need you to have – I don't know if you have people, but I need your people to call the For the Pops people because I want to bring the RJ podcast at least part-time to the For the Pops network. We got to be able to iron something out. Maybe we can iron a little deal. You know, we'll give you a trunk full of beer every 6 weeks or so.
Boy.
You can drink it out in the parking lot with all your miscreant buddies. Slade, it's obvious from his contribution to say that RJ – he definitely feels that he knows a lot of things. He definitely has a big knowledge base in that big melon of his. And the great news is when we come back from the break, he's going to get to prove it. Because this week it's going to be Scotty Slade taking on RJ Deluise in the For the Pops pop quiz. And we're going to do that right after the break when we come back on For the Pops right here on the NAI Pop Network.
After these messages.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam, show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
Are you looking for a way to spice up your life? Maybe add some fun and excitement to the bedroom? Then check out BigOBoutique.com for everything you're looking for. Whether you want to shop for pretty lingerie and pajamas, or are looking for sensual lotions and toys to try out, Big O Boutique has exactly what you need. And don't worry, our online store is easy to use and will help you find all the right tools for you and your partner. We carry a huge assortment of lingerie, lotions, and more, all shipped discreetly to your door. As a special offer for the Pops listeners, enter code POPS at checkout to save 10% on your order. That's P-O-P-S to save 10%. So go to BigOBoutique.com today. That's BigOBoutique.com.
Back on For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network. And Jamie, I am going strong. I believe I got a 2-show win streak right now.
You've been on a nice run.
Which, fun fact, and I find this very insulting. So, just like last show, my hands were in the air. Brian Fury is claiming that I have cheated the last two episodes. Actually, he claims I cheated two episodes ago. He says D.L. Hurst was so dumb when it came to the Netflix question. That was the only reason I was able to squeak out the victory. So I'm very insulted that Brian Fury feels this way. So my hands will be up for this duration of the quiz so that this way my victory for the hat trick will be untainted.
But all that stands between you and victory is our guest this week, RJ DeLuise, color commentator extraordinaire from Chaotic Wrestling. So, RJ, you ready for this? Are you ready for your first For the Pops pop quiz?
I am so excited. I can barely contain myself.
What we'll do is I'm going to ask a question. We have five pop culture-related questions. We'll go back and forth. You get 1 point for every answer you get right. And then when we get to the last one, we'll have a little playoffs. We always have a winner. And let's get to it. So here we are with this week's For the Pops pop quiz. Question number one. Now, RJ, what I do every week is I go to my 15-year-old daughter, Nikki. You can find her on Twitter. She's at Nikki Josephine, N-I-C-C-I-E Josephine. You can follow her on Twitter. And I say, hey, Nick, what's a cool slang term? What are all the kids saying? What are you and your peeps? What are you and the squad saying? And she looks at me like I'm an idiot. And she goes, do I really have to do this again? And I'm like, you know, yes, do you want me to pay for things? And so she gives me a stupid word. Well, we've spent the last 6 weeks in Hawaii, RG. I don't know if you know that. If you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, often I check in from exotic locations, and I've been checking in from Hawaii quite a bit lately.
Weird.
So this week, Nikki, actually, she gave me a Hawaiian slang term.
Whoa!
So this week, the term is pow. What does the word pow mean? Now, RJ, I don't tell you if it's noun, verb, or whatever. Scotty Slade is still thinking.
No, I was waiting for a break in the auto. Just while RJ's thinking, there's a lot of employees of mine that listen to this show to the point that this portion of the pop quizzes has become a hot take in the office.
Oh, good.
Where everybody tries to preemptively toss me new lingo in the event that you ask about it.
That's tremendous. I mean, my favorite one that we've had is, I think it was one of our first episodes, I used the phrase Hundo P. And then have you seen the new Karate Kid series on YouTube at all, RJ?
I have not.
No. There's a new one. I guess in the first episode, I remember Twitter and everything kind of blew up on us a little bit because I guess in the first episode they used the phrase Hundo P. And a lot of people heard it for the first time right here on For the Pops. So, RJ, if you're ready to go first, what does the Hawaiian term pow mean?
I'm really glad you asked, Jamie. Okay. I know this to be correct. So whether you give me points for it and just have revisionist history as you're known to do, that's fine. But pow is a thrill ride, savage word, usually accompanied by in front and pow on the back side. It's actually pronounced pow. It is vintage Jimmy Preston. Thrill ride approved. Okay. Pow means pow.
So okay, it means pow. Scotty Slade, do you have an answer?
I'm just gonna go with yeah, there's no way it's anything bad, that's for sure.
We need an answer.
Because it came from your daughter. I'm gonna say pow is like super cool, super exciting. Like, pow, right in the kisser. You know what I mean? It's awesome.
Actually, pow means all done. Pow means done. So, if you've been at a luau and you've been eating and somebody says, oh, do you want more to eat? Oh, you say, no, I'm all pow. I'm pow. So, pow, it's P-A-U, means all done in Hawaiian. So, next time you travel to Hawaii, you can use the phrase pow.
So it's using the phrase, I'm pow, pow, so I'm right.
So nope.
That's 1 point.
So the score is 0-0 as we go to question number two. Being topical, just today the Academy Awards announced they're adding the first new category to the Academy Awards since 2001 in order to increase interest in ratings. What is the category they are adding? You can think about it. RJ went first last time. This time, Scotty Slade, you will go first when you're ready. thinking, thinking this is the best part of the show, RJ, is the dead air while people think.
Can you just repeat that question one more time?
Just today, the Academy Awards announced that they are adding the first new category since 2001 in an attempt to increase interest and ratings. What is the category they are adding?
I don't know if it's for this award show, but Tarzan Taylor, this shout out goes to you if this is correct. They are adding popular movie.
This guy says popular movie. RJ?
It's actually, sorry to break it to you, it's the popular film award. So 1 point for RJ, 0 points for Scotty.
You are both correct. They are adding an achievement in popular film, kind of geared into the superhero movies, the science fiction movies. And of course, immediately after announcing it, all of the pompous film critics and reviewers spoke out in outrage about what a horrible idea, because why would they actually want people to watch their broadcast that probably became irrelevant over a decade ago?
Sure. So wait, so I said it exactly right and he said it sort of right, so I get the points and he doesn't? Is that
what you're saying? I tried to take a photo of the screen as I could see the reflection of his cell phone as he's searching through Google.
Okay, now what? RJ, you can't use outside source.
Oh, it's, right there.
It's in your glasses.
You can see it in his glasses.
There might be a disqualification today.
No!
RJ, put down your phone.
He can't.
I'm on my phone as part of the game.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Question number three. And Slade, I don't blame you if you're now playing under protest.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We're tied. It's all right.
Following the footsteps of Britney, Christina, Elton, and Justin, what music megastar is rumored to be the next participant in James Corden's Carpool Karaoke? Sky Slade knows this one.
RJ, there's a rule here on For the Pops. I'm going to reserve my answer and let you answer right, first.
RJ, you get to go first.
The answer is... Prince for the win.
Your answer is probably just as good as mine.
The answer is Prince.
I am going with none other than Beyonce.
Well, it is a good rule of thumb on For the Pops. If it's a music-based question, I use the phrase megastar. Beyonce is always a safe guess, but in this case, it's incorrect. Ariana Grande. Ariana Grande is going to be the next rumored person on James Corden's Carpool Karaoke. He went on Twitter. He posted a set of her lyrics, and he said, I guess I better start learning these. And she tweeted back, for what? But then they were seen together.
Didn't the fighters not enjoy that, by the way? Was that the thing that Dave Grohl was upset about?
I believe so. I think it was the Foo Fighters or Metallica, but I think it was the Foo Fighters. They did not have a good time. Because I guess they were upset that they went on, they had to sing all their own music. So clearly they were a little unclear on the concept of Carpool Karaoke.
Yeah, how do you not understand how that works?
Well, we are still tied at 1-1. Question number four. What late 90s smoke show announced today that she's going to be joining the cast of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
What?
So there's somebody who I think we would all agree that in the late 90s she was a complete and total smoke show. It was announced today that she is joining the cast of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Who goes first?
We'll let you go first, RJ. Just enjoy hearing your answers.
Heather Locklear.
Of the 90s?
Yeah.
Daisy Fuentes.
This is the fastest For the Pops quiz. I think everybody just wants to go back to their whiskey and back to their... No, the answer is Denise Richards.
Oh, okay.
Denise Richards from she started in Wild Things. She's 47, and she's been rumored to be in discussions with the producers for years, but the timing was never right. But she has confirmed that she's going to be joining the cast of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
So great, a show I'd watch. That's good.
Here's what we do, RJ. Because we're tied, we're going to go to question number five, where we're guaranteed a winner.
Okay.
I have a list, and what we're going to do, it's a list of 10 names, and we're going to go back and forth. And you get a point for every one you get right. No penalties for ones you get wrong. And what we do is we'll go back and forth until we've either hit all the names on the list, we have a clear winner, or we all get bored and we just decide to put this out of its misery. What do you think?
49ers, Ravens.
So what I did, question number five, I looked up online because RJ, despite your comments about me, I've always thought you're kind of a funny guy. You're funny. You're clever.
If this is comedy buddy movies, we're gonna have to pick a different topic.
No, he's kind of a comedian. So I looked up in Forbes magazine. They listed the highest earning comedians in 2017.
Okay.
So the Forbes highest earning comedians in 2017. Now, to be fair to you guys, I do want to let you know that not all of their income, it would appear, came from just doing stand up or just doing comedy events. But they are all based in comedy. Okay. So, for instance, I'll give you an easy one. Jim Carrey's not on the list.
Right.
It's not a comedic actor, but they are, you know, comedians by trade. Yep. So now, RJ, as our guest, would you like to go first or second?
I'm going to go first, get the easy points.
Good.
All right, so I'm going to go with I got to be strategic here because I don't want to waste this shot here. All right, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, all right, I need that first point. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld is correct.
Yes!
Scotty Slade.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart is number six. You are correct.
Wow, six. I would have thought he was higher. Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer is correct. Number five.
This is just in 2017?
Yep.
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. number three on the list.
Wow.
You guys are tied at three apiece right now. Most competitive.
I only need two people.
But you had 1 point from previous rounds. Both got an achievement in popular film.
So I'm going to name someone who, when I was at Villanova, I brought in to a orientation comedy festival that we had. There were some big names there. The biggest name was Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan is correct.
He's hilarious. Oh, he's done. Slade is done. He's toast.
Give me his.
Check his glasses for searching on the internet.
I'm going to say Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle is correct. He's number four on the list.
So we haven't even hit number one?
Number one was Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I felt good about that one. So how many do we have left?
I don't know. A few.
This is important, Jamie. Are you scratching them off as we go?
You have four left.
All right. I want to say Dom DeLuise or Louis Anderson, but I know that it was 2017, so I'm not going to say that. Although I want to, I'm not going to. Wow. Okay. Crunch time here. Man, this is competitive. All right. Deep breath. Comedians who have...
RJ, we need an answer.
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen is incorrect.
Ah.
Sky Slade, you can take the lead. Continue your domination of the For the Pops pop quiz.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Jeff Foxworthy is incorrect. RJ?
Wow.
Here's your chance to take the lead.
Yeah, I need to steal this one here. Okay.
Four names left.
This Jamie. This is strictly basing it off of who's had Netflix specials in my head.
I know. All right. Along those lines, here I'm going to do it. Chris Rock.
Chris Rock, number two on the list.
Yes! Yes! In your face, Scotty Slade. That was a big one.
Scotty Slade, there are only three left. You need some points here, pal.
Trying to think of the great debates we've had in group chats where we argue about comedians. There's two that come to mind, and I'll have to name both of them. I'm going to go with first, Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham, number nine on the list.
Wow, barely on the list, but that's a good one. That's a really good one. Not good that he's funny, just good that you got him, because I don't find him funny.
Yeah, Fury hates Jeff Dunham.
And shout out to Brian Fury. He's awful, and Fury's right.
Is he the guy with the jalapeno on a stick?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with an obscure one because I don't care to win this thing. It's stupid. But somebody who's on the internet a lot doing comedy, but I don't think he gets paid well. Joe Santagato.
Joe Santagato is not on the list.
I didn't think so.
I don't even know who that is.
He's a comedian. He's funny.
Is he?
Why don't we go Amazing Jonathan?
I just respected the reach back on that.
I like that. No. Magic, F-U. F-U, it's magic. No, he's not on the list.
All right. Sebastian Maniscalco.
How do you even know who Sebastian Maniscalco is?
He's Italian. He does Italian jokes. It's his bit.
He's on the list, but Slade, I think the entire, just like the Russians, I think the For the Pops quiz has been hacked this week, Slade.
Are you kidding me? I'm a comedy genius.
I only
There's
know.
There's no Russian collusion. If there was Russian collusion, we'd be talking about Yakov Smirnoff here, and we're not. So knock off your Yakov.
Scotty Slade, would you have to guess at the last one?
Can I get three guesses?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, whatever rules you want. It's Jamie rules.
Yeah, RJ's been cheating the whole way, so what the heck?
How am I cheating?
Who on God's green earth knows Sebastian Maniscalco?
I do.
You do not either.
I said his name out loud.
So I'm going to name the – I'm just going to keep going with my Amazing Jonathan theme.
Good. I like this.
Okay. So my three guesses, because you said the money doesn't have to come from all angles. So I'm going to go – Jamie, I don't know if you know this as a background, but I'm going all Vegas shows. I'm going to go Carrot Top.
Nope.
I'm gonna love it.
Frank Caliendo.
Nope.
And I'm going to go Terry Fader.
Terry Fader is correct.
Wow, good one.
Good job.
I was going to go with Gallagher.
Fun fact, Jamie, my second Vegas trip, we had saw Terry Fader.
Yep.
And I don't think he's funny at all.
He's from America's Got Talent, right? I think he won America's Got Talent like the first or second season.
He's awful.
Wow.
I was on Last Comic Standing, but you guys don't care about that. Me and Sebastian Maniscalco. I did a round off.
I remember that.
Is that something I can Google?
It was the 2007 season of Last Comic Standing. I waited in line for hours. I got through it, and I hit the round off, and they did and other people tried out too.
Right.
And they do this loser reel, and I'm at the end of the loser reel hitting the round off. It's pretty fun.
I remember seeing that on an early, a cell phone or a laptop at a Chaotic show once, RJ. I think you brought the clip or somebody had it, yeah.
It's a real thing. It was on NBC for, I was on for the time it took for me to do the round off.
And despite all of your lovely comments about me over the course of the last hour and change, RJ, it was a pleasure to finally have you on For the Pops. Hopefully we can get you back on the For the Pops network. Maybe next time you're in town, you can meet up with me and Slade, and we can do it live all together at once. That would be kind of fun.
With that said, we are going to roll out of here. And just so Brian Fury knows listening at home, that was a cheat-free For the Pops round, at least on one end of this quiz.
And because I won. Fury knows I won. He'll know.
The best part is when you go back to listen to the audio, you say the last name so comfortably the second time around, and the first time was very...
I know his name. I don't know how to pronounce it because he's not a funny comedian. I didn't look him up. You guys were right here looking at me. Go ahead. Check my Google search history.
All right. So take us out of here.
All right. Well, with that said, RJ, how can they find how can people find you on social media?
I don't do a lot on there, but at RJ DeLuise on the tweet box, you can tweet at me. I'm probably not going to read it, but you could do that. At RJ DeLuise on the Twitter. I'm on there like once a year, but yeah, I mean, have at it.
Well, hopefully Sebastian Maniscalco does not tweet
nope,
at you.
No, that's not how you say it. Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, that too. So for Jamie J. Mikowski, I am Scotty Slade. You have been listening to For the Pops on the NEI Pop Network.